Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Sports Talk Wednesday here in the Buffalo Water Cooler, Trenton White Sports Radio Show. Look, it's been a very hectic time. 2017 recruiting class coming out. Got basketball starting. Been very busy, focused on the kids and focused on the basketball season. So, you know, getting rugby started, getting all the other things started. It's been kind of hectic, but a lot's been going on. And believe me, I've been missing talking about certain things. We're gonna have the kid on, Coach Han, UB rugby coach, canceled. He has a meeting, so we'll have him on later on this week. But I want to break down the Bills very quickly. Kid's going to come in here and kind of elaborate what I'm saying. I want to get something said real quick about the Bills. Look, the Buffalo Bills are pretty much the same team as they always been. Different names, okay? Different names, different coach, different GM, same results. The Bills had at least three games this year, I felt. The ones they lost. At least, no, let's say two of them. Where they should have won. Down the stretch, you got bad, you know, just, I'm not going to say bad coaching, bad communication between the coaches. I mean, look, I called the game. The Bills looked great in the first half. Sammy Watkins was killing the Chiefs. Killing them. And then you've seen the wheels start coming off. It's like they're front runners. There's games where they can score points. They can't put teams away. And I think the Buffalo Bills fans are getting sick of it because they've been seeing this for like 14 years. And they get all excited because Rex Ryan's in. I'm starting to question him. Let's be honest. Are you going to question him now? You almost have to. Oh, jeez. Quickly to basketball. Jahmyr Okafor for the Sixers. I mean, video comes out now on TMZ of them actually fighting. Fighting in the street, knocking the guy out. He gets two games for that, and I think, honestly, that's a very sad suspension for what he just did. Look, I'm a Philly guy, I'm an NBA guy, but I'm kind of surprised he's in there in this kind of trouble. But you know what? That proves my point. I say it all along. You don't know these athletes until you know. You see them on the field, on the court. You see them doing whatever, in the ring. But you don't know who they are. This tells me a lot about him. Very shocked, but it tells me a lot about him. And my 76ers, the team I grew up on, only gives him two games, which I think is completely ridiculous. But that's why they're on the bottom of the heap. The worst team in the NBA, I had the kid come on to verify this, maybe the last 3 years. I'm going to bring the kid on right now. Kid, welcome to the show. Good to have you back on. Look, we're going to talk about the Bills, but this Okafor, you know, TMZ just showed an actual tape of him fighting. And I'm looking at this thinking, I can't believe it's him, for one. I thought he was a good kid, but you never know these guys. But then the Sixers come out with two games. Now, you know, your thoughts on that and the suspension, just to, you know, elaborate before I go any further on this, I think two games is far too little because you have a tape now.
Yeah, I just want to say thanks for having me on again. But what Okafor did was unexcusable and just speaks volumes about where that organization is as a whole. That whole management team, it shows you, like, he came from Duke, which, you know, Coach K, how he runs his program there and how much different it is in Philly. And he had no issues when he was in college, where you would expect most kids to, but it's like what we got talking to before. These kids are one and done. They're not well-mannered when they come out of college because they haven't had that kind of experience to get to the pros. They get into the limelight and they just take it upon themselves and get in trouble with that. I do agree with you and say that two games was not enough for the footage that came out. It's just like the Ray Rice thing. I mean, not maybe as much, but like two games is nothing to an 82-game season. I mean, it is. He is your star player, but you gotta show that you can enforce some rules after he takes part in action. Something is kind of like detrimental as that was that Okafor took.
Yeah, I think this is worse. This organization shot. This is probably one of the worst organizations in sports right now. And my thing is this. Look, Steve Smith had a great point. He hasn't lost this much in his whole career of basketball until he got here. The Sixers are a bad organization. But as far as he goes, it makes me wonder who he really is. I mean, look, under Coach K, he's sitting the bench for games. Coach K would sacrifice a very important game if he did this. Coach K probably would have suspended him for at least 10 games or more. I mean, seriously. But he gets here, he got some money, he's famous now, he's a star player, and he's a high pick, and he does this. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know what, 2 games. The Sixers just made themselves look worse by giving 2 games. Let me tell you something. I'm almost laughing at that because 2 games, you can get that for almost – I think you get more for fighting on the court or throwing a punch, don't you?
Yeah, I think that you would get a lot more. And it just shows you, like, the accountability that the Sixers are taking for their players. And that whole organization needs a rehaul. I mean, it's kind of the reason why they can't – I mean, they draft good talent, like Michael Carter-Williams and Noel and now Okafor. But it's the kids – I mean, Michael Carter-Williams had a kind of a shady past, and then they draft them. But they can't recruit anybody because no one wants to go there. That whole organization is just – not a hot spot. I mean, when's the last time you saw a big name come in there? You don't see big names go there. I mean, last one I remember was Andrew Bynum, and he didn't even play for them.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from him, I don't see anybody, like, going, oh, I want to go to the Sixers. And the Sixers has such a prideful history with Dr. J and the late Moses Malone, and they just – I mean, you expect people to go there to keep that history going, and Allen Iverson, and – no one is going there. It's not a destination point you want to go. And this just proves the point when they just lay down a suspension as short as 2 games for something as big as Okafor did. I don't see the reasoning behind it. It just speaks volumes as to where their level is of accountability and what they want to do with their players.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the NBA is going to step in here, and I could see that happening. They're not going to – I think the top's going to come in here and add a suspension there. That's from the team. I think the NBA is going to hit him pretty hard on this one. But the 76ers should have said, you know what, let's take care of this in-house. We don't need the commissioner stepping in and doing this. We're going to punish him. But I tell you what, I think you're right. This is a – I mean, dude, I mean, Allen Iverson, are you kidding me? Dr. J, a very prideful city, very prideful team. It's a mess. And I think if you want a clean house, the owner, I'm starting to wonder if he's part of the problem too. I mean, this is just a mess. But let's talk some good stories. Your boys, the Golden State Warriors, look, I was wrong. And I thought, even though it's early, but what they're doing now is sickening. They're on fire. And small balls in, the big man has died, which I don't like. You know, I kind of hate that, but as of right now, the big man's dead. It's a guard forward league. It's a 6'4", 6'6" league. It's a slashing league now. And if it's going to be like that, Golden State, I don't know who's going to beat them in the playoffs now if they keep playing like this. It looks like Curry stepped it up another level. And like I said before, the Clippers are frauds. And when Golden State beat them, you know, I watched the Clippers a few times, and I just can't say to anyone, they're going to the finals. I just don't see it. To me, they're not the Grizzlies. They're better than the Grizzlies, but I don't even know how much better they are. They'll be a team that's always in the playoffs and always have, you know, false promise, but they'll never really get where we expect them to get.
I mean, it's kind of hard for me to say that, but I do see what you mean. But the Clippers have shown me, and so have the Pelicans. The Pelicans, I mean, they've just dropped off, but they've just not lived up to the potential that I had expected from them. But I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe they're those teams, the Broncos, that just go to the playoffs and they can't win at all because they're good, but they're not great. Like, they don't have the star power. I don't think Chris Paul is, and some may argue with me, a top 5 point guard. I don't think that Blake Griffin is as good as everyone he is. You know, he keeps on improving his game. They find ways to lose games, and it's just very uncharacteristic of a Doc Rivers coach team. And I mean, to the point of the Warriors, no one is playing as good as Steph Curry is right now. I mean, I made a point about it. He won MVP last year. He could win it again this year and even win MIP, because the most improved player, because the way he's just playing is absolutely just unbelievable. Every time he throws up a three-pointer, it's like, if it doesn't go down, you're shocked. It's not like one of those things where, like, oh, wow, like, oh, he hit the three-pointer. No, it's more of like, if he misses it, you're going, how did he miss it? Because, like, it has just become that redundant of just happening over and over again at key moments. And, I mean, when they played the Clippers, I watched both those games that they came back on, and it's just, you think, oh, well, maybe this is the one time the Warriors are getting shown up and they're kind of getting bullied around, but then they just come back and they find ways to win. And it's kind of like night and day with how the Clippers are. They just find ways to lose games because they are just, I don't want to use the word undisciplined, but it's sort of like that, because they just let things get away from them. And it's unfortunate, but I don't think anybody is going to stop the Warriors anytime soon. I do see them beating the Bulls record of the 72-win season, but, I mean, the comparisons that people are making, whether or not they would beat the Bulls in a seven-game series or something like that, is just, it's unfair to both, because they're both in two different, completely different times, different rules, but that's a topic for a different time.
Yeah, you know what, and, you know, I'll say this about the Clippers. I told somebody this, I think, a week ago. I don't think they have that guy. You would think it's Chris Paul. When the game's on the line, who's going to be that guy to just go off? And if you really look at that team, they don't have that guy. Curry's that guy for Golden State. LeBron's that guy for the Cavs. I mean, you can look around. Leonard for the Spurs. If you look at it, they don't really have that guy. You think they do, but I think you're right. Chris Paul, not a top five guard. You'll draw a huge argument out of that one. I mean, a huge one. But, I mean, he's been playing for a while. I think people forget that. Chris Paul's been in the league for at least, what, 9 years, almost 10 years?
Yeah.
People forget that. He's getting up there. He's getting up there. But I tell you what, though, look, Golden State's a team right now, but also in the East, the Cavs are playing good basketball, and no one's really talking about it. And here they are just, you know, just going along. And I think they're going to win the East. And the Wizards right now, to me, don't look great, but it's early still, and they're probably going to come on a little bit later. Toronto's looking decent. Atlanta, I don't know what happened to them. But, I mean, you have the Miami Heat. They're playing some good basketball. So I think the East might be a little bit tougher than people think, but we'll see midway, All-Star, after the All-Star weekend. I think you'll start seeing these teams either step up, or you'll see some of these teams like the Miami Heat, who I think that's a pretty good basketball team. I don't know how far they can go, but they're no pushover.
Yeah, I think you also have to throw Indiana in that mix. I think they're proving what a good and healthy Paul George will do in this NBA. I mean, he's a mismatch anywhere on the court. I mean, they can line him up at the four. They can line him up at the three. I mean, he played two for most of his career, so he can line up anywhere and play against anyone, and he is producing with that team that, I mean, let's face it, doesn't have that many stars on the team. I mean, many people can't even name their starting five, which speaks volumes to how well they're playing as a unit, like Atlanta did last year. But Paul George is that guy, and it's one of those guys that you can rely on to take your team to the next level that we were just talking about with the Clippers. But Paul George is playing outstanding, and I think that he could be the comeback player of the year because of the kind of season, kind of injury he had last year and how well they're doing. And like you said, we're probably going to have to wait till the All-Star break, but I like the way that Indiana is playing, and I'm going to predict that it's going to come down to probably a seven-game series between them and Cleveland in the Eastern Conference.
You know what? That just might happen, you know, because, I mean, you're right. Indiana, I didn't forget about it, but they are playing good. And Paul George, look, it's going to be his trophy to lose because he's playing good right now. And with that injury, I didn't think he'd be playing like this. So I think he's going to be fine. And, you know, what about the Rockets? I mean, you look at the Rockets, and you look at the Grizzlies, and to me, those teams don't even excite me anymore. Even Chicago doesn't excite me. I mean, I was hoping the Bucks would do something this year. You know, maybe they'll turn – like I said, the All-Star break for me is huge because what I see is, you know, Golden State's going to be there, but I want to see what the Spurs do because they'll sleep on the Spurs because Coach Pop's going to rest his guys. See, they're old, so they're going to rest their guys. After the All-Star break, I think you're really going to see how good that team is. And I think if there's any team that could handle Golden State in the right situation, I'm going to still stick with the Spurs because I think the Spurs could do it. The problem is, I mean, Steph Curry's playing out of his mind. You better hope he slows down somewhere along the line. But, I mean, look, I'm going to go with the Spurs still. I like the Spurs. I like Coach Pop. Until you beat them, you just got to beat them. I just don't want to turn the page really quick on them. Look, this is probably the last time we're going to see that group together. But I think it's going to be a good team. And I think Golden State, if they're going back, I feel this year they have to go through the Spurs. And I think that'd be a great series if it all plays out that way. I'm sure you have another team pick, but I think the Spurs are going to be very dangerous. And let's not forget the Thunder. The Thunder's looking good. Westbrook's playing good basketball. So, I mean, am I wrong there? I mean, you can't really pick. I mean, you can pick Golden State up there, but there's about three teams, I think, that can give them a heck of a lot of trouble.
Well, I'll say that probably the best probable chance of anybody knocking off the Warriors is probably going to be the Spurs. I always trust Pop Fitch. His teams always play hard for him, and I think that it's probably one of the most talented teams he's had in a while, and he's gotten a lot out of his players. I mean, he went to back-to-back finals with teams that Danny Green and he's known now, but I bet you know not many people who don't watch basketball on a regular basis knew who Danny Green was before the season. But aside from that, the Spurs are a really well-coached team, and they're also talented. So I think they just match up good. If they can play small ball, I don't think that Tony Parker will be able to cover Steph Curry, period. I think that Popovich will have a plan to guard Steph Curry in a seven-game series, whether he just finds out one of his small ball defenders that maybe even put Kawhi on him, because Kawhi has the long arms and can play good enough defense to play on him. But I mean, then you look at everybody else. You got to look at someone who can cover Draymond Green, because he's a mismatch. He can shoot from anywhere on the floor, and he plays the five for them sometimes. And you don't want Tim Duncan going all the way out to the 3-point line when he's your rim protector. So I think that Popovich will come plan for a seven-game series, because I highly doubt that he's ever going to get swept by anybody anymore. I mean, there was the one year with the Mavericks that he got swept, and it was one of those, like, what happened moments, the meltdown moments. But I think it was that Golden State will have to go through San Antonio. I don't think San Antonio is going to lose any time before Golden State, and I see them being projected to be the second seed, or at worst, the 3 seed in the West.
Yeah, at worst a 3 seed, but, you know, I just got a quick email just saying, how could we just overlook the Thunder? No one's overlooking the Thunder. Look, I think if there's any team that could turn it on out of the blue and just go nuts, and I think it's the Thunder. I mean, I think that's a good basketball team, very explosive. And I tell you what, you talk about Curry's a tough cover. I think Westbrook, right after Curry, to me, is one of the toughest guys to cover in the NBA. He's probably the fastest guy on the court. He's just so explosive, and his game's totally different. And so when you look at these guards in the West, no one's overstepping or dissing the Thunder, my man. Look, I think Westbrook, after Curry, to me, guard-wise, I'd pick him any day.
Yeah, I think that Westbrook is number two, and I think he's up there probably as the fastest point guard, along with John Wall, because what I saw John Wall do the other night to Cleveland was just astonishing how well he ran the floor. And, I mean, in transition, he was just absurd with Bradley Beal running alongside him. But I do like the Thunder, and I've always liked Westbrook. I like his game. I like what he brings to the table. And, I mean, you're going to have Kevin Durant there, but I just don't see the depth that can match toe-to-toe with the Spurs and Golden State. I mean, the Spurs are going to run 10 deep, 12 deep every year.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think the Thunder are that deep to go with them. Warriors have built, a foundation that have made. I mean, they go in with Sean Livingston. They go in with Barbosa. They go in with all their backups. I mean, they play small ball. They play deep. And that's why they're so good this year. So, I mean, if it comes down to a seven-game series, I'm going to probably pick Golden State or San Antonio over the Thunder, and that's no diss to the Thunder, but I just don't see the necessary depth that they have there at those key positions that those other teams do.
Let me ask you a question. Look, after eight right now, you have Cleveland 1, you have Orlando 8. As of right now, of the teams that are below the 8 seed, you have Boston, Detroit, the Wizards, the Knicks, the Bucks, the Nets, the Sixers – which one of those teams you think can get into that top 8 come All-Star break or before the break. I'll tell you my choice. I don't think the Wizards will stay here too long. They're 7-8 right now. And to be completely honest, to me, the East is closer than people give it credit for. The Cavs are only 13-5. Right behind them is Indiana, 11-5. You have Chicago, 10-5. You have the Heat, 10-6. You have the Toronto, 11-7. You have the Hawks, 12-8. Charlotte, 10-7. You have the Magic are 8-10. And then Boston, right under them, is 8-10. I mean, excuse me, 10-8, 10-8. So this is a lot closer. I mean, no one's really pulling away. The Cavs aren't really pulling away from this group yet. And do you think they will, or do you think you're going to start seeing things just kind of even out more, and then the Wizards jump up there? Or even the Knicks, look, they won 8 games, which they won 8 games this year so far, which is pretty good. And I think they may surprise people and also challenge for an 8 seed. Who, you know, just what teams do you see making a jump?
I'm going to have to say it's going to be probably the Celtics or probably the Pistons. I really like the Pistons game. I really like Andre Drummond. I like what he brings. I like the center, like the style of physicality he brings as a center position. But Boston is a good, well-coached team with Brad Stevens. I think that I've always liked him as a coach. When he replaced Doc Rivers, I instantly became a fan of the Celtics again because I really like how he coaches his teams. They play hard for him, and they do have depth at that team. I mean, they don't have the star power that maybe the rest of the East does, but they have a whole bunch of good role players, and we talk about what role players they can do. They can get you into the playoffs. I just don't see them making it past, you know, maybe the first round because they don't have that star power. But teams built like that, whether they play good together, they don't have that ball hog. They're well coached. They play good defense. I think that team can probably sneak into the playoffs. But I don't really see anybody dropping off too far. I think it's going to be close towards the bottom. I think that Indiana will probably end up as a 45 to maybe like 50 win team, and that's going to be the highest from the second seed down, and everybody's going to be around that range. But then other than that, I see like Cleveland probably being like a 55 win team, and no one even challenging them towards like the last like 10 games as a top seed.
Yeah. I think you're right there because I'm looking at the West, and of course you have Golden State. That's going to be 20-0, and unless they blow up right now, they're up on Charlotte 60-51 at the halftime. You got the Spurs right there at 14-4. You have Oklahoma at 11-7. The Grizzlies 11-8, and I'm not even going to count the Grizzlies because they'll make the playoffs, but they'll do what they always do. I think the Mavs might make some noise, but then you have the Clippers. I don't know, kid. I'm just not sold on the Clippers. They got to really do something this year for me. Not to, like you said, put them in the category of Denver because, look, to me, I said the big man's dead. You would think Jordan would almost dominate now because the league is changing. And if you look at two really established centers, you know, Howard and him are it, and you would think they'd be dominating. But, no, you have Houston sitting at 11-7. What's the issues with Houston right now?
I think Houston just went through turmoil. I think that the premature firing of Kevin McHale was way too quick. I think he was way better than the Houston organization gave him credit for. It was not his fault for having the downward spiral of Dwight Howard come to him and just derail his coaching career, which I don't think he's going to be out of a job very long. I think he's just going to be – I think he'll be a head coach next year somewhere else, and whoever gets him is going to be lucky. But Houston are one of those teams that just ride on their one star, and I believe that's James Harden. They had a good supporting cast last year. I mean, once they got rid of Chandler Parsons, I thought that's when they started going downhill with their supporting cast. But other than that, I don't really see much on their team. They have Terrence Jones.
Yeah.
They have Patrick Beverley. But, I mean, those guys aren't going to give you what you need to win in the West when it comes to playoff time because – I mean, I'll even put Marc Gasol ahead of Dwight Howard. I think Marc Gasol is a better center. I think Andre Drummond's a better center because Dwight Howard is just, I mean, he's just, and I hate to say it, but he's like lost it. Yeah. There's not much, any other way to put it, but Houston just got derailed early and they just quick triggered it and now they find themselves sort of on the outside looking in. I mean, they're holding one of the bottom playoff spots, if that. And then, but I just think the West is just going to be too difficult this year with the top three teams. If you're 6-8, I am not going to pick you for facing the Thunder, the Spurs, or the Warriors, because I think those three teams are way too good. And if I had to put it, I wouldn't even put the Clippers beating the Thunder in the first round if they got matched up as the 6-3 teams. But
yeah,
we don't know. It's early. It's still 20 games into the season. But right now, that's how I would have it.
Yeah, I mean, 20 games into the season, and the West is kind of where I thought it would be as far as 1-2-3. I'm okay with Golden State at the top, and then you have the Spurs and then Golden State. I mean, and then the Thunder. I thought it would be that. I think it's going to remain that. I don't see either one of these three teams, barring a massive injury, I think it's going to finish that way. You may have the Thunder. Look, the Thunder may, you know, look, Golden State to me. Golden State, if Curry's healthy, they're fine. Tell you what, he gets dinged up and has to sit a few games. They may win a few games without him, but he is the one guy on either one of these teams, these three teams I just said. He gets hurt, the Spurs to me, I mean, the Warriors drop instantly to me, because I don't think anyone else can carry that team like he does. And just the way they play, he's a cornerstone of how they play. But you can look at the Spurs, who could withstand some injuries because of the style they play, the way Coach Pop is, and just their big men and just that veteran team. Same with the Thunder. I think Golden State, I don't think they're going to – I think they'll probably win 23 games, 24. I don't know if they go any farther than that. But I'm telling you right now, you have Luke Walton coaching right now. You know, Kerr, I don't know when he's going to come back. But I will say this. Golden State needs Curry. They can't be without him too long, almost like the Cavs can't be without James too long. But I think when we look at the Spurs and the Thunder, they could withstand a loss of their power guy for multiple games and still be kind of fine. I mean, am I wrong there?
No, I think this, and I've always done this, I've always compared the Spurs to the New England Patriots. I say they're the New England Patriots of basketball. They just get the most out of their players. If you see, let's say, Kawhi Leonard go down, I bet you Pop has a way to get Tim Duncan, to get Manu Ginobili, to work with the rest of their team, Tony Parker, all those guys, to work with the rest of their team and get them into playoff form. I mean, that's just how Pop does it. That's how the New England Patriots do it. One guy goes up, it's the next man up. That's how it is. It's do your job. It's come in, play as if there's no drop-off. Obviously, there's going to be a drop-off, but you have to make it as, like, unnoticeable as possible, and I think that's what the Spurs are good at, and that's why they've been so good without the star power that they have. I mean, people may say, oh, Tim Duncan's a star and superstar and top five in the league, power forward, and you have one of the best six men in Manu Ginobili and a rising star in Kawhi Leonard, but, I mean, their team, I mean, they got production from Gary Neal, Patty Mills. They would come in and they would play as if they were starters. So I feel like Pop does a great job at coaching players and getting them into the game and ready for the game as if they were going to start. And so if they are called on to start for maybe 10, 15 games of the season, or maybe even when it comes to playoff time, that they're going to be ready. And I don't see much drop-off happening if a superstar like Kawhi Leonard were to get injured or Tim Duncan goes down for a couple games. I feel like they just plug and play and plug and play, and then they'd keep doing what they do.
But you do feel the Warriors can't afford that. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel they could afford that.
I do
agree
with you.
That's just my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong. I just don't see them having the depth of quality players to me like the Thunder and the Spurs do. And you made a great point about the Spurs. So I'm more saying, look, Golden State's on a roll. They're the best team in the NBA right now. It's a long season. If Curry gets dinged up, or if Curry, you know, needs a rest, or if he's out for an extended number of games, they're not the same team without him. It's like you said, the Spurs are the same team regardless almost. They're like the New England Patriots, like you said. That's spot on. I don't know if Golden State could do that. I mean, before he moved to Kobe Bryant, that is true. If Curry goes down, they're pretty much not a one-man team, but they really are, aren't they?
Well, yeah, you saw it in Utah. You saw it when they played the Clippers. When they go down, who do they turn to? They turn to Curry. If you don't have Curry in the lineup, there's no one that's going to bring you back in that game. You're just going to kind of fizzle out. I mean, when Curry sat against Utah, they were just run all over on. Now, I do like the depth of the Warriors, but Curry is just that clutch player that's going to take over a game and just say, okay, well, you need me to play, I'm going to play, and I'm going to play my best, and I'm going to be playing like I'm the best in the world, like people say I am now. So I just feel like if Curry were to go down, that they would not be the same team. And they'd probably still be up there. They'd probably be middle of the pack Warriors if Curry, say Curry would be out for the season before the year. I think they're going to be probably like the fifth or sixth seed because of how well their team is built. But other than that, I don't see Golden State going deep in the playoffs if Curry does get hurt.
Yeah. Let's talk about Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant, one of the best players of all time. Played about 20 years, and I was so happy when he admitted he was losing it. Here I'm thinking the whole time, dude, you're losing it. I don't want to say it for you, please. And he came out and said, I'm calling it quits. I watched the whole interview. He said, you know, I just suck. I'm tired of sucking. I just can't do what I want to do. So refreshing to hear that from a player, because you have a lot of guys that hang on way too long, and maybe he did hang on, but he was injured. So this year was a year for him just, I think, to get back on the court and do his farewell tour. I think it's a great idea of him retiring because, look, we said it a few weeks ago. He just don't look the same. You know what I'm saying? He's having a good start tonight. I mean, for heaven's sakes, at the half, they're leading the Wizards 57-51. But it's kind of sad to see Kobe go, but at the same time, it's time.
Yeah, I completely agree with you with everything you said. I think it's unfortunate the kind of team that he has around him. I don't think the Lakers are a very good team. I thought they were going to be better with the additions they made with Brandon Bass, Roy Hibbert, and Williams. But they just haven't been able to gel together or work together and play quality basketball. So it is unfortunate. And you do see Kobe still trying to backpack the load that is on him because of how well-recognized he is and how good of a player he was. But I do agree with you. I think this is just one of those farewell tours because he was out the last couple of years. He said, I just want one more season. I'm just going to try it one whole year under my belt. I just want to see how good I am. And once it started happening, it's one of those things. He came out and he was just like, yeah, this is my last year because I am not playing to the potential that I wanted to play at. And it's kind of time to go because if I can't be the player that I know I used to be, then I can't play because he's so used to playing at such a high level that any kind of drop-off is disappointing, and you don't want to play at a lower level that you were than that you're expecting of yourself.
Yeah, you know, so many moments watching this guy, and kind of proud that he's from Lower Marion, right outside of Philadelphia. We played him in football and all that, but, I mean, just a great player, and now he's gone, and I'm kind of happy. I'm not sad he's gone. I'm kind of happy, but I'm more concerned about this. You see Kobe going, and you know who's going to go right behind him. You have Ginobili's going to go behind him, Duncan. And then, I don't know if you did this, kid. Look at what you're left with. And then you have Okafor doing what he did. And then you just look around. Okay, you have LeBron James. Let's be honest. He's starting to show a little bit of wear and tear now, too. I say, what, 5 years? Maybe? 5 years at least, right? Solid. And then he's gone. Think about it. He's not going
to
last long.
Yeah, I think five to 8 years is fair for LeBron. I think that he's going to do what Kobe did. I think he's going to sort of get banged up towards the end of his career and want to give a whole season away, like, one more time and try to give it a go. But I feel like LeBron is going to kind of drop off in the next couple of years. And then, I mean, you got probably five more good years out of him. And then he'll probably go back to, like, the return Jordan phase or the Wizards Jordan and just not be as good as he wants to because his body isn't the same and he can't be as dominant if his body is not the same. So
yeah.
That's where I see LeBron.
I'm worried about the NBA, though.
I don't see many star players, I mean, or faces of the franchise or faces of the NBA that you have. I mean, good for the NBA for having Steph Curry here and all the excitement he brings to the game. I mean, Russell Westbrook, you have him. But other than that, I don't really see any players that are kind of, like, likable like that. I mean, I just see LeBron James and Kevin Durant. I don't know how much longer they're going to stay around because Kevin Durant's starting to get banged up, and he is I always say that Kevin Durant is just – I don't mean to knock him for this or anything, but he's just not, like, big enough to play as physical as he does. Like, yeah, he. I just didn't want to say it, but like, yeah, he's. You look at him to LeBron, and
oh yeah,
you just see the mass difference that they have between the two, and I just feel like that he's just more fragile compared to LeBron.
Yeah.
And one of these times he's going to fall the wrong way, and I mean,
yep,
you're going to have a Paul George injury.
Yep.
And
I've been saying that for years, kid. I said, how does this guy with those skinny legs, he couldn't bench 135 pounds coming out of college when he came out of Texas. I remember the reports. Yeah, he's a thin guy, but I'm worried about the NBA as far as this goes. You're seeing Kobe go, one of the best players of all time, and we'll see him all year. You know, we'll see him on ESPN for the whole season. But, you know, you look at him, then you see Wade's going to be going. You have all these good guys going, and it comes now to, you know, what does the NBA do now? Because I am a firm believer, this one and done to me, I think it's got to stop. Because now you're starting to see what's happening. You don't have these guys that are good like the Duncans no more, who are so fundamental. You're losing it, kid. And trust me on this. Watch the games now and think about when you start watching games 5 years ago. There's even a difference from then. I mean, so what do you think here? Before we go to the Bills, what do you think about, you know, what the NBA should do is step back, I feel, and look at it and say, okay, this is a guard league. We never wanted it this way, but it is. And let's be honest, kid, the NBA, to me, I think everything would settle out if you start having dominant centers again. Keep your guards, but dominant centers.
Yeah, I think that could be the key. And I just see all these players, like the ones you mentioned, and Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, and those players are just not the same, and they're not putting in the same minutes that you expect them to. And Kevin Garnett's just, I think, the same thing as Tim Duncan. I don't think he's playing at the same level, but he's one of those dominant players that came out of high school. And, I mean, those are special breeds. Those are different stories than the one-and-dones, obviously, but you're always going to have those once in a couple, maybe like 5 years. They're going to have one of those players come out that is that good that can come straight out of high school. But all these one-and-dones, I mean, you're seeing probably like the top 20 picks are after one-and-dones. Like, they're all one-and-dones. And
yeah,
it's just unfortunate because it's just so they're just excitement-driven, and they need to find the next new thing and try to be the next hip thing and be the most popular. And I don't think it's really working out for the NBA. And this guard ball, this guard NBA – driven league.
I don't like it
just,
as much.
Yeah, I don't like it as much either. I like 5-on-5, not the backcourt versus the backcourt with the big guy setting screens and taking three-pointers. And
yeah,
I don't like it as much either.
Yeah. You know, well, let's talk more NBA later this week. Let's get to the Bills. I'm going to ask this question real quick. I've been saying this all week. I got a few emails got to answer. But someone took offense to what I said about the fans are, you know, seeing the Bills that they seen 14 years ago, which is actually absolutely true. As of right now, look, the Bills should have won that game. Okay, now, I don't know if Rex is taking heat, but I gave him heat when last time we were on about 2 weeks ago. I think it's time he takes heat because the Bills shouldn't have lost that game against the Chiefs. Look, Watkins was killing them. Excuse me. The first half, they stopped going to him. Yes, the corner played a little bit better, but then what got me was the challenge. The guys upstairs couldn't see that to relay that down to Rex. And I'm thinking, only the Bills. Until the Browns had that field goal, ran back for a touchdown, that was the worst. But
yes.
Let's be honest, though. Think about it. I mean, this is the same old Bills. I mean, let's not fool ourselves. How much has changed since last year? I mean, kid, help me out here. I mean, I don't think nothing – look, on paper, the Bills are a good football team on paper. I think they're a good football team, period. I think they should be in a better position than what they are right now. But what is the answer here? What is the answer?
I think it is a mix of everything. I think it's a lack of kind of – I don't think the players are playing as hard as they did under Jim Schwartz on defense. I mean – the back end, I really like the play of the cornerbacks and the safeties. But aside from that, I don't know what Rex Ryan is doing. You had A.J. Tarpley in there for over 24 snaps. What, like,
yeah,
this guy played 12 snaps all year, and he's playing 24 snaps. And you know what the Chiefs did? They recognized it, and they ran right at him, and they said, get off your blocks, or we're running right through you. And that's what happened. and that's when they started taking the game over. I don't know what Rex was thinking, what Dennis Thurman was thinking. I don't know if it was just like what the packages they were putting in and the personnel that the Chiefs had in, but there, I don't think there's an excuse that you can give me. And when I kept seeing his name, and I don't mean to rag on the guy, but he was released this week, but you're going to release a guy after playing him 25 snaps of the possible, I think it was like 77 or something like that, or 72.
Yeah.
You're going to play him after that and then release him. That shows you what kind of mistake you made, and you're not telling me after maybe 10 to 15 you don't see people, the Chiefs taking advantage of that. I was so infuriated when I kept seeing it, and I was just like, why is this guy still in the game? I don't care if we're putting 7-8 in the box, but you need to get this guy out of there. He is getting abused. He is getting picked on, and you need to do something about it.
But you know
aside
what?
Aside from that.
Kid, he got released, and I kind of felt bad. I'm like, wait a minute. Wasn't his fault. He knew he couldn't be. It wasn't his job to be in there like that anyway. You see what I'm saying? I mean, that's coaching.
Yeah.
He was the scapegoat, man, to me.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that he was put out there into no man's land. I think it was unfair to him, and he was re-signed to the practice squad, but I feel like he should only be in there for depth. Now, what happened, I don't know what happened with injuries to linebackers or whatever it is, but if your star linebacker goes in and you know you don't have that guy to come in and fill the void, then you need to play some kind of different packages. I mean, you find a way to play with what you got. You don't put in worse players because that's what works for you personnel-wise and what you want to do. I think, and I've said this all year, I think Rex Ryan and Greg Roman both get too cute for their own good. When they play straight up, like, they know what their quarterback, their wide receivers are good at, like they did in the first half. But when they start getting too cute, like the two-point conversion, what are they doing?
Yeah.
They're rolling Tyrod Taylor out, and he has one read. He has Charles Clay. They take that away. What is he doing? He's already 20 yards back downfield, tripping over his own feet. Why are you running a rollout? Why are you not running it? Why are you not trying to do some quick pass that'll get you in the back of the end zone? But no, they had one read, and once that one read was taken, and I said this about Tyrod, since I first started watching him, he's a one-read quarterback, and he scans half the field. He doesn't look back through his progression.
Yeah.
And you see it more and more when it matters, and it was just – it was hard to watch because right when I saw that two-point conversion play call, I said, what are you doing? Either he's supposed to run that in on himself or they're going nowhere, and they ended up going nowhere because Charles Clay was immediately taken off the field. And that's another thing I want to get to because Charles Clay, where is he? He was our leading receiver through the first 6-7 weeks, and he was – He was producing like we thought he would. He got paid the big contract over the offseason, but what are they doing? Why is he not exposed in the middle of the field? Maybe it's Tyrod. Maybe they don't know what they can get out of Tyrod Taylor. But this guy should be killing it in the middle of the field like he was earlier in the season. And I just don't see it. I just see either Watkins down the sideline or you're trying to get Chris Hogan or Robert Woods on deep curl routes that are going 12 yards and Tyrod's rolling out. If he doesn't see him break early enough, he's rushing around trying to just run around and get a completion down that way. But, I mean, it's just frustrating to watch that offense and that defense just get too cute for themselves and try to do too much when they know what they're good at because this team is built to win and they are better than what their record says.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question. Watkins, when you look at Watkins, look, he's the man. I think he's good, but I looked at him all season, injured, came in. Let's be honest, before the Chiefs game, that was the best I've seen him play all year, but I was saying to myself, is that because the corner was playing bad at first half? Because let's be honest, he was targeted a few times second half, but that corner played better. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, you're better than this guy. Keep doing what you're doing, but you're right. It's only him down the sideline mostly. You don't see him do too much of anything else. It's like he's a guy just right down the sideline, do a streak, and that's it. I didn't see a post. I didn't see a comp. I didn't see anything. And I'm thinking, okay.
Yeah, I didn't see a slant.
Is this the coordinator, or is it just Tyrod?
Ooh. I'm going to have to say it's going to be Tyrod. I think that plays are drawn up, but I didn't see many of them. But Tyrod is kind of that half-field vision, like I just said, of – progression. He goes through, you don't see him look off many safeties. He just stares receivers down like EJ does. And I don't agree with it, but quarterbacks do when they try to have a security blanket. I saw him try to go to Robert Woods too much, and yeah, Robert Woods does have drops and such, but I mean, these plays that Robert Woods are running, I mean, Sammy Watkins should be running them too. They should be running these out routes. I mean, you see what he does to corners. I mean, he did it to Revis. Third and two, why are you not running a play like that where he fakes the cornerback out? Because I think that Sammy Watkins is that good. Or run a quick slant like Steve Johnson used to do back in the day, but they just don't. So some calls are on the offense coordinator, but I think it's him tailoring what to, no pun intended, but what the Tyrod Taylor does well, and let's get the ball down the field. So I think that Greg Roman is working with what he has, but I would really prefer to like to see more of underneath Sammy Watkins, because I feel like that if he's running across the field or if he's quick cutting people, that no one can. And I'm against Revis.
Kid, you still there?
But yeah, but other than that, I think you just have to put most of it on Tyrod.
I will say this though: one thing about the game, when they said the coordinator makes the plays to his strengths, that tells me one thing. When you hear that so many times, that tells me you can't do your full playbook because he's limited. And if Tyrod's limited, let's be honest, let's just be honest football talk here. If he's limited and you can't do much with him but certain things, he shouldn't be your starting quarterback. Am I wrong?
No, I completely agree with what you just said. I felt that way day one. If you can't play your whole playbook or if you can't do everything that you want to do, he shouldn't be in there as your starting quarterback. Now, I think he's better for the system that Greg Roman runs than EJ Manuel is, but I mean, there's nowhere else to put it, because the Tyrod Taylor, if he was that good, if he was a quality starting quarterback, I mean, you're one of 32 out of every human that can play football. You are one of the 32 starting quarterbacks in the National Football League. That means you are in the top 32 of what you do in the world. And if you can't run everything that you're asked to do, then frankly, you should not be a starting quarterback. Now, that is not a knock against Tyrod and saying that I think he's a bad quarterback. I think that he can be a quality backup or come in, win you a couple games, but I don't think he's there for a 16-game season that you should put all the weight or all your chips into him, especially in a team that's like it now.
Well, I'm pretty surprised three agreed on that. Wow, three guys quickly sent agreed. Yeah, agreed. We've been saying it for a while, but now I think I have more ammo to go after Tyrod now, because guess what? I'm not even going to say this, kid, that he's better than EJ, and I tell you why. He had this many games, and look at the Bills' record. Who's to say if EJ had the same, it wouldn't be the same record or even better? So I think that argument is kind of dead now. Okay, yeah, he looked good, but the Bills are, what, 5-6? So how good is he really? And people who still want to trash EJ blows my mind, because, look, Tyrod, he had some good games, let's be honest. But him and EJ are different quarterbacks. What if EJ, yes, he has accuracy problems, sometimes he misses guys, but you know what? He's not getting the reps. Tyrod shouldn't be running 20 yards back or anything. Throw the ball away. 2-point conversion, whatever. Screw it. It's overthrown away. Didn't matter. But still, who's to say EJ can't do certain things better in certain situations that the Bills were in games they lost, than Tyrod? Look, that argument to me, kid, is dead, because the Bills are 5-6. You lose one more game, you can hang it up. I'm telling you. Matter of fact, I think they're in big trouble right now. And I'm going as far as saying, you might want to start trading guys. Why not trade a Darius? Why not? I mean, who cares? You're getting torched anyway. You look good in the first half, then you get beat. So nothing's really working. It's a good defense on paper, and they have looked good early. But let's be honest. This team probably needs a makeover. I don't know. Free up some money. Do something, because, kid, we're in the same spot. And you said it. You called it. You said, well, we both said, we're going to see the Bills in a few weeks. We didn't really have them dominating anybody. And they're about right where we thought. I'm kind of surprised they're here, though, because on paper, the Buffalo Bills in this AFC, to me, that's kind of weak, you would think they're in the playoffs 2 weeks ago, looking pretty good. They're still in the hunt, but now they're in the middle of that pack that's in the hunt. And I think they need to win out. That's my opinion. I mean, maybe I'm wrong here, kid. You can correct me, but I think they got to win out almost.
Yeah, I agree. I think they have to win out, and you can hang it up if they lose to the Texans. That's two games behind. They're in the 10th out of, I mean, 5th or 16 teams, and 6 teams get in. That means you have to beat out 4 more teams just to get a wild card spot. Now, all those teams are within one game, aside from the Chiefs, because the Chiefs are a game and a half now that they own the tiebreaker. But if you lose to the Texans, that puts you behind 2 games and 2 teams that are 2.5 games ahead of you, essentially. Because if the Chiefs were to win against Oakland, which might happen, but if Oakland wins, then that's also a team that's in front of you that you're going to have to be in front of. So, I mean, they have to win out. I don't see, even though how weak this AFC is, I don't see a team that's 9-7 going to the playoffs, because I think the Chiefs have too easy of a schedule. I think that the Steelers are too good of a team with Ben Roethlisberger back there, even though they got beat by Seattle this past week. I don't think they're going to drop off anytime soon. They still have that high-powered offense. But other than that, I don't really see the Bills making the playoffs. I don't see them losing this game. I mean, maybe you can get away with one more loss and everything fall into place. But other than that, I mean, it's not impossible, but you're going to have a lot of things fall into place because, I mean, Tony Romo goes out. That's a huge loss for the Cowboys, and that's kind of one of the games that maybe the Bills fans might have circled and said, well, maybe we'll lose this one, but not because Matt Castle. I don't know if the Redskins team's going to show up.
Yeah, kind of breaking up the kid. You still there? Looks like kid hit a bad area of the cell phone. But what he was saying was true. I mean, you know, look, the Bills, to me, aren't a mess yet, but they're a mess. And when kid gets back, he can finish his point. But the Bills are a mess. And let me tell you something right now, Tyrod fans. Look, the Bills still should draft quarterback. If you're going to get rid of – EJ's gone. Don't be foolish and think Tyrod's your guy because he hasn't – kid, you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Oh, no. Real quick, you can finish what you were saying, but, you know, we got 5 minutes left. And I wanted to say to Bills fans, if you think Tyrod's your guy, you better rethink this very carefully and hope your team goes after the quarterback because, look, kid, they're 5-6. And you can put – how many games can you really put on him? To me, I could put that Chiefs game on him and the coaching staff. It shouldn't have came down to where it came down. They had every chance to blow these guys out. And then you got Oakland. Kid, the Oakland Raiders are looking pretty good. They're improving. They have a young quarterback, Carr, to me, who's a 10-year starter, if you say it's Aldi. He's the real deal. I watched him last year. I watched him this year. Carr's pretty darn good, kid. And I wouldn't mind. He's young. You're going to have some issues with him, but he looks pretty good. And then you compare him to Tyrod, who's been around, and fans love him so much. I think Carr is more of an established franchise quarterback right now than Tyrod is, even though he's just starting for the first time this year. He's been in the league 4 years behind Flacco. Carr's just starting. Yes, he was inconsistent last year. He's playing better this year, and Oakland's winning.
The Bills will have to try to find, and it's easier said than done, but try to find a Derek Carr-style player. I liked him coming out of college. I liked Andy Dalton coming out of college. And those were second-round pick guys like that the Bills had chances on, and they didn't take. It's just one of those quarterbacks. And especially with Tyrod's injury problem, you have to look at someone else. You have to be looking always for that backup because even if he – I mean, I still think it's up in the air with – whether or not Tyrod Taylor is your franchise quarterback. And I'm kind of leaning towards no again, which is hard to hear for Bills fans because we haven't had one since Jim Kelly in the mid-90s. But, I mean, you're going to have to try to find that franchise quarterback. And even if you do choose Tyrod, well, who's going to back him up? Because he's not going to stay healthy for 4 seasons in a row. I mean – there's no other way around it. You need to have someone that can step in there. And clearly, Bills fans, I mean, a lot of them that I talk to, don't think EJ is the right guy for the backup. And maybe EJ just needs a new start somewhere else because I feel like his talents are good enough to be perhaps a starting quarterback. I think he's just up there with Tyrod. I think he's up there with a couple of them.
Yeah.
But you need to find that guy to be your backup or potentially your franchise quarterback, and you need to find him quick because Bills fans are getting restless, and this team is built like a caliber to win, like a winning caliber team, and to the point of the trading that you have to do. But I think you're just a lot of people have been talking about it recently, and I'm still on the fence with this, but people are talking about cutting Mario Williams at the end of the year, which would save them around $20 million in cap space. You go use somewhere else, which may be a smart move because he has injury problems and he hasn't produced the same way that you would want him to produce. I mean, he's good at stopping the run, but are you paying that kind of money just to get a run stopper rather than get a team, like get a player that can perhaps push you over the top and get you into the playoffs that you've so badly wanted the last couple of years? But I mean, that's the decision that's going to come down to Whaley and all those ownerships up there. But man, I looked at the blame at one guy when it comes down to it, and we've talked about this, Russ Brannon, just this guy, if we don't make the playoffs this year, I personally want to start a movement to get people more aware of this guy has been through it all.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this countless amount of times. He's been through it all. He's the only guy that had his secure position, and it's hard because he's now so entrenched into the Sabres organization and Terry Pegula's close-knit family that it's going to be hard to get him off the Bills. But, man, if we don't make it this year, I will be at the forefront. And you brought it up to me even more. I mean, I had my doubts about him before, but you brought it right up to my face and said, like, this is what I think. And I kind of was like, yeah, that makes sense because he has been through it all and he's the only constant that's been here. So I will personally be out there and getting people's attentions like you did to me about how Russ Brannon was out here and how he's been here throughout all of it. But we have to see how the rest of the season plays out. I mean, there's still 5 more games to go. Bills could go 10-6. We don't know. Still could happen, but right now it's not looking too good. And if people aren't here that were here at the starting of the year that may have had quote-unquote security at their job, it wouldn't surprise me if they weren't here anymore.
Yeah. Oh, no. I got from a source that second with Patrick Moran when he was on the show said Wiley's gone. He said that. I heard that from someone too. If they don't make it, he's gone, and he may be gone if they make it. I don't know, man. I mean, that's tough. Yeah, he deserves it, but I mean, this team for all that was said in the beginning of the year, all the excitement, kid. Let's be honest. Injuries again. I mean, injuries happen to everyone. Look at the Patriots. What a better time for the Bills to beat them was that game, and they couldn't even do it. They kept it close but couldn't finish it. I got to put this on Tyrod. Any other quarterback, even the great Peyton Manning is taking heat. People say he should just go and just let this quarterback stay in there. Can't pronounce his name, Oslinger or whatever. Look, even
Osweiler,
the great ones get criticized. Yeah. And Tyrod, let me ask you a question. If they lose this game to the Texans or lose the next game, do you finish Tyrod out the rest of the season to see what you really have? Or do you play EJ, and hopefully he plays well down the stretch, even though nothing's on the line, but where the Bills could play spoiler, just to see what you can get for him, or you just let him go?
What I think will happen is something completely different than what I would like to see happen. If we do hypothetically lose this game to the Texans, I feel like that the coaching staff will play Tyrod out to see what kind of feel that they have for him, get him as many reps as possible in an NFL game that you can have, and just let EJ ride the bench and just eventually just go. But I personally would like to see how well EJ has matured, and if he were to get the starters reps throughout the back half of the season, I mean, there would be four games, which he went 2-2 as a starter last year at the starting of last year, but possibly get something for him. But if we just let him walk, I don't think we're going to get anything for him, and it'd kind of be disappointing because we're not really working towards anything towards the end of the year other than a high draft pick if we lose this game to the Texans.
Yeah, quick minute here. Have you been watching college basketball? You had a good game last night, Maryland, Carolina. I mean, are you in NCAA a little bit? Looking good down there, man. Some good players, and I hope You know, I wish the one and done was gone at least 2 or 3 years, and I'll tell you why. There's enough good players this year in college basketball. If they stay in the college system and play under some of these good coaches, can be some good NBA players. And I see a lot of these stars being one and done, going to the NBA, a few not making it, and a few just getting that money and just being good players in the beginning, but then not having the full fundamentals to last long like the Kobe Bryants and the Jameses and the Chris Pauls and all that. I mean, have you been watching? There's some good players down there.
Yeah, I've been watching some Kansas. I did watch the Maryland UNC game. I watched. I think that Melo was a fantastic player for Maryland, but then you had the return of, I think his name is Marcus Page. I'm not completely 100% sure.
Yeah.
I think that's his name. But, he played really well, and I feel like those kind of players stick to it. And like you said, get the fundamentals down under those good coaches like Roy Williams or Bill Self in Kansas or John Calipari in Kentucky or Coach Day in Duke. I think if they stay there and learn those fundamentals, I think that's a perfect point, because these kids come out, they're the star power, they're the flashiness, but they don't have the fundamentals, and people figure them out, and they're done within 3 years. They're not the same players that they are. But those who stay in college, learn the fundamentals, they come out through. I mean, Terrence Jones, I used to watch UK back when they were making their deep, like, Final Four runs. Terrence Jones was an intricate part with Anthony Davis, that national title team. And now he got a chance with Houston, and he's showing that since he stayed there, how much he's learned and how well he's playing. I mean, most of the times I see him out playing Dwight Howard, and that just goes to show you what it can do for you if you just stay there. You may not be the best talent on the team, but you play with the most fundamentals, you could beat a talent that doesn't have those fundamentals. Now, there are some special talents like Anthony Davis and like Kyrie Irving who can go one and done and kind of stay in that league, and people have a hard time figuring you out. But other than that, if you're looking at somewhere towards like the higher end or middle of the road kind of draft pick, I would stay in a couple of years to learn the fundamentals, to learn discipline, and to get my basketball IQ as high as possible before I get ready and just chucked into the fire, into the pros, like so many of these kids do, and just do it for the money.
Yeah, you know, quick before we let you go, 40 points by Curry. They're just pulling away. Golden State is. I mean, you got Kobe Bryant, 21 points. Good to see that. But, you're right. I mean, we got to get you back on this week. I got some emails about the Bills, and I'm not even going to – we have no time to get into. They want to get on about this whole I'm convinced just by these emails, no one wants to hear about EJ anymore. I mean, it's Tyrod or bust. And I'm shocked because you're kind of saying you don't need to draft a quarterback. One guy just emailed about 10 minutes ago, why are you idiots talking about drafting a quarterback? We have one. I'm going to get into that this week. I mean, that's how they feel, kid, though. I mean, I'm just letting you know. People are crazy.
Yeah, I don't see the point I made. Like, what if Tyrod gets injured? He got injured this year, and you guys all, so many people, called for EJ being awful, and why don't we have a different backup quarterback? Well, let me tell you something. If EJ's not there, who's your backup quarterback?
Yeah.
No one. There you go. So you need to find someone that can play quality backup.
Yeah. But one email was about Russ Brandon. Pretty much was, you know what, I never really thought about it, but you know, you guys are right. He's been around through it all. Yeah, he's been around through it all. I've been saying that for freaking 2 years. But now, on the Facebook page, I think we got to start on Twitter and Facebook. We have to, because I guarantee you, people probably never thought about it. Because he's been around so long, they probably just forgot about him. But when you think about it, what's the constant of this losing streak of not making playoffs? Russ Brandon. He may be the curse. Cleveland got their curse. I think the Bills' curse is right now, you know?
Yeah, multiple GMs. You have two different owners. You can't say it's on the owner anymore. You can't say that Ralph Wilson didn't spend enough or didn't care about his team enough. I mean, you have multiple head coaches, multiple different team personnels. It all goes back to one person. He's been here since 98. He's been through it all.
And then he got promoted to another job. It's amazing. I wish I could do that, you know?
Yeah, It's unbelievable.
Yeah. All right, kid. Look, we're gonna go ahead and cut it. We had a good show tonight. Pretty decent crowd for like kind of a dead night. When are you gonna do a show? People stuck around to hear some basketball, some Bills, and yeah, we gotta hit some of these emails back and just really get into detail on the Russ Brandon and also the quarterback situation. I think if the Bills lose this game, which look, I'm hoping they win, but if they lose, we gotta have a serious conversation now about this team, break down the coaching staff. More importantly to me is the quarterback and also linebackers. That's another thing that no one's looking at. I think the Bills have holes that have been exposed, but they were hidden very well from the hiring of Rex and Tyrod coming on the scene and EJ getting on the bench. And I think we ignored a lot of things that really are being exposed right now, kid.
Yeah, I think that we can go into a whole bunch of stuff. And that EJ Tarpley situation was just another kind of proving point that we had. But other than that, I will be there Sunday at Ralph Wilson Stadium. And I mean, I don't want to be there if they're gonna stink up the joint, if they're gonna drop an egg. And I'm sure I'm not alone when it comes to the fan base. So I'm hoping for my sake and for the Bills' sake that they put on a show and they actually show what kind of team they are and what kind of team they can be with their talent level.
In a very winnable game. Very winnable game. But you know what? I don't know about winnable, like, guaranteed, but who's going to handle Watt? Watt's going to get his. Just, you know, just run your game. I think the Bills should be fine, but, dude, I mean, to me it's a winnable game, but now since the way they've been playing, I can't even say that anymore. I can't say that.
Yeah.
First 4 weeks, oh, yeah, it's a winnable game. Now it's like, is it? Is it a winnable game? All right, kid, look, good show tonight, man. We'll freaking have you on hopefully Sunday night or Monday. G-Man's going to be on, try to have another guest on. But we're going to have a little roundtable about the Bills. I think it needs to be talked about. G-Money is not in the stable of looking for a quarterback, but we're going to have him on, Slapshot Rob, have on a few other guys about this this deal here, because it's an honest question about the Bills and the quarterback. And Tyrod, to me, hasn't played great enough to say we don't need to draft anyone. I mean, seriously. So that's a good conversation. Any last thoughts, kid, before we let you go?
I mean, I'm going to sit here, I'm going to watch some NBA, critique it more. Steph Curry is just out of this world, and
yeah,
I'm going to hope for that Bills W when I go there, and hopefully I can make a change, and it is definitely a winnable game that we should be favored to win at home. But other than that, it was nice being on, and I will definitely try to be on Sunday night after the game.
All right, kid, take care, man. And, guys, thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys later on this week. We got Coach Hand from UB coming on with rugby and a few other guys coming on. Very, very, very disorganized show as far as what we're talking about. We had the kid on, and when I get the kid on, we just start talking basketball. And my guest dropped, and, you know, I had to let you guys have a show. But wasn't our best show, but it's a very interesting show. So we'll see you guys later. Have a good time. And if you want to hear the show, we'll be posting on Facebook in a little bit. You guys could listen to it, pass along to your friend. Have a good night.